name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, and thank you for slowing down for a moment and screwing up the universe. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Autumn Smasher.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes and on our summer special. Well, it's no longer really summer anymore, and that's why Autumn Smasher is here joining us, of course.
Have a nice trip. See you next fall.
Are you just go around and shake trees until the leaves fall off? Is that?
Yeah. That's your power? I work with Mother Nature.
The European division?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think Autumn Smasher is going to join us this week as we talk about all the news that we've heard in the last few weeks since the last summer special that we did, in preparation for just a few days from now when the season premiere is coming on Tuesday.
Wow. Yeah, next Tuesday. I'm going to talk like this for the entire episode, if that's okay.
Excellent, excellent.
I'll see how long it takes. Oh, shoot, it's already gone.
Oh, God.
That's like what fall is for us back here. It's like summer, and then it's winter. You know, it's like there's hardly any fall.
So. Really? Yeah, see, for us, it's quite a bit of fall. We just have it. Matter of fact, actually, the weather's been exactly the same for the last 2 months. So
yeah.
But, all right.
But yeah, well, Tuesday, I'm really not focusing on that right now because I'm really excited about it. But there's so much other stuff going on, Luke Cage, over this weekend here to kind of keep me occupied until the Flash comes back.
Yeah, I mean it's getting you. It's like training, right? Like you got to sit and watch that whole thing. And
yes, I have to sit and watch the entire thing.
You will, right? So it yes. prepares you for a long season of watching other shows. And to me, this last couple of weeks, I think, just have not felt like the season premiere ramp up for The Flash. To me, it feels like the season premiere of weeks of superhero shows on CW.
Oh my gosh,
it's basically,
yeah.
Basically, you turn on CW and it's like walking into a digital comic shop. That's what it's like now.
I mean, 4 out of 5 days during the week, they're going to have superhero shows. And The Flash kicks off the premieres, but he's only on Tuesday. So Supergirl's really going to, you know, be like the leadoff hitter for the week. So I'm interested to see that they brought their two oldest shows back. The week before they bring Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow back, which is interesting. I'm kind of interested to see how this is all going to fit together, and especially as we come upon the much vaunted crossover that they're talking about. For
well,
this
I think
season.
That's a great strategy to do. Something that I think CW has a long history of using that kind of thinking of using other shows to launch. And if you trace back just the history of shows. On the CW, you go all the way back to Smallville, where it introduced characters, and I think ultimately that was where Arrow came from, even though it was, you know, different idea for the character, different actor and everything. But I think the idea of having the Green Arrow as a character with his own show, I think started all the way back in Smallville, and you can trace a bunch of shows like that. So the CW really uses that launching platform, and I think it'll use the success of The Flash, Arrow first, of course, but then now The Flash to help promote all these other shows. And I think Supergirl's going to assist in some of that, bringing some other people over from CBS. So
she'll be just fine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Well, you know what? We have news and stories and speculation that we'll get to. And then, of course, we want to talk about the second season Blu-ray release, which happened just a few weeks back. I got it here right in my hand.
Good.
I've watched through almost the whole thing, actually. Almost the entire season plus the extras. I just couldn't stop watching it again. So
it looks great, and that's all I'm going to say for right now.
It does. It does. We'll get to, let's talk about some news first. And some of this news is a little more recent. I put that toward the top because people may have been seeing it recently. But just today, I saw a new promo for all the CW shows, something very similar to something they did last year with the Superhero Fight Club, if you remember that last year. And they had
I love – that is one of my favorite promos that they did.
Oh, it was great. And now last year what they did was they had the heroes that they had on the CW then plus some villains as well. And it was just – it was all just kind of a fun little romp where they were – fighting in a room and, you know, showing off their powers and things like that. Well, it was like
Thunderdome, the way they had it set up.
Yes, it was. So, and who runs Bartertown in this one was Cisco and Felicity from Arrow.
Yeah.
And so they're running this sort of digital training area, but they have now included Supergirl in the mix.
Oh, and she was so excited to be there.
Yeah, so you got to check it out. You know she's in it, and it's not really a big surprise, even when you see it online. But it starts off with her looking like she's trapped, but then she gets very excited. The one thing I did miss in this, I thought it was fun again, but the one thing I did miss was seeing some of those villains in their fight. And I thought they were going to do, you know, like hologram villains or something when it first started.
Well,
but
I understand there's more to it, but I hadn't had a chance to check it out. From what I understood, what is online right now, like what people can go see if you just search for Superhero Fight Club or CW Fight Club 2.0, it's, you know, it's like a minute and a half, right? And it, like you said, it introduces the Flash and Arrow and Supergirl kind of being trapped, but then she like breaks out of it. Like, you know, she wasn't really caught by Arrow. And then Cisco and Felicity, like you said, running it from the computer hub upstairs. But supposedly there's more to it on the CW app.
Oh, okay. So I'm gonna have to check that out. I had not looked that deep because I just saw it today.
Yeah.
All right. So
I haven't installed the app yet. I got to get that on my.
Oh, you don't see? I do. I have that. I have that app on my phone, so I haven't looked deep into that. But anyway, check it out. That's relatively new. Fun promo. Of course, not canon in any way, so don't take it as such. Which is why I thought they could have thrown some of the villains in there. We'll see if they did on the extended one.
Yeah. Well, and then we also got some information about the upcoming crossover, which is not going to be until probably after, based on my calculations, it looks like it's going to start the week after Thanksgiving just because of the schedules for everything here. But we know that it's, you know, it's going to include all four of the shows here. And the villains that they're putting on it this year are the Dominators. Now,
oh, my goodness.
These, not the ones you're thinking of. These are not the ladies in leather that, like, you know.
Oh, right.
People.
Sorry.
No.
No X in this. I gotcha.
Right. These are they look like yellow. They're yellow aliens with, you know, big heads and sharp teeth and big red dots on their foreheads.
Ah.
And they come from the Invasion storyline circa 2001, I think.
That sounds
about
right.
No, 1989.
Well, now the Dominators themselves have been around even longer than that, but the Invasion storyline was where it kind of crossed over.
Oh, really?
Over.
The Dominators were around before? I thought they were introduced in that, but
I could be remembering wrong. See, that I got all confused. That's why I had you say that. And I'm assuming that there is no safe word you can use with them to get them to stop attacking the planet. That's not. Not
no.
like the other. Okay. All right.
No, not like the other ones. Right. So, you know, and, in, one of the articles I read, the producers of the shows, either Greg Berlanti or Andrew Kreisberg or Mark Guggenheim said they were being very faithful to the look of these characters. I mean, you know, when I see pictures of the Dominators, I get kind of a Mars Attacks vibe. I mean, that's, you know, they're really space alien-y, you know, looking with long clawed hands and stuff, but this, you know, kind of bright yellow skin. So we'll see how they do this. You know, it's going to be a mix of probably costume or puppets and special effects and stuff like that. So
that's an interesting way to go. I can see that on Supergirl for sure. I can see that on Legends of Tomorrow even. It'll be interesting to see how that plays on a show like Flash and especially Arrow. It's just usually a little bit more grounded in reality.
Yeah, Arrow being the the third spot in the week here is going to be interesting because Legends of Tomorrow, like you said, you know, they're used to flying around in space and going through time and everything like that, but you know, we're going to start with Supergirl and we're going to go to Flash, which it's going to be fantastic, really grounded, and then fantastic again. So, I'm assuming that the third part with Arrow, you know, will literally be down to ground because, you know, it'll be towards the middle or the end of the second act kind of thing,
I would like them to see, and I know Arrow is kind of getting back to its roots from what we've kind of been talking about this summer. They've said that is going to kind of be getting away a little bit more from that magic stuff. But I wouldn't mind them throwing in hints here and there of possibilities like that. That way it's not so jarring when you go from super grounded, realistic people with, you know, aren't metahumans straight to an episode of, you know, these weird looking aliens that are attacking you all of a sudden. So, I'm sure they've thought about that, especially leading up into this crossover. So
that's it'll be interesting to find out just how this works for some people may not really care about these other shows. I know it's hard to believe, but if you're not watching all the crossovers, is, you know, Flash going to leave us with a cliffhanger that really is only answered in Arrow? And will they talk about it the following week? That's, you know, those are some of the questions I've got, because if they don't wrap it up in some fashion, you know, just for the individual show, I understand if they want to have threads continue, but I think they kind of really need to just wrap up, you know, all the main Flash plot threads on the Flash.
Yeah. It almost has to work as a standalone and a crossover together for TV. I wouldn't bother me because I'm going to watch all four of them.
Right.
And I can see that working okay, but if you want to keep your mainstream audience that may be not involved in them, the goal ultimately of these crossover episodes is to, first of all, to have fun. I think that's on their mind just because they're playing in this universe that they've now built so successfully. But the other thing is to hopefully bring some viewers of certain shows into your other shows. And that's, I think,
totally
probably why they approve things like this. So,
yeah. Well, and I think probably what we're going to do as we review our shows, I'm thinking we'll probably talk about Supergirl on the Flash episode because that will be the lead into Flash. And when we talk about our Arrow show, Green Justice, and we talk about that, we'll probably also talk about the conclusion on Legends of Tomorrow. So,
right.
People kind of get that.
And I'm wondering if you take the covers of all four episodes and put them together, will it make one big picture that you can hang on your wall? Is that?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I don't really think the episodes have covers per se.
I know, but it'd still be cool. You know, they used to do that.
It would be
comics.
Nice if TV Guide did how they do the various covers for things. Like there's a Flash cover out for TV Guide this week.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it's part of, I think it's from their Comic-Con coverage.
Oh, right. I did see that. Yes.
Yeah, it's like Flash, Gotham, Supergirl, and Supernatural.
Yeah, I was shocked to see that, mostly because I didn't realize there was still a TV Guide. But something else that popped up online as kind of a promo picture, and something that, it made me squeal with delight, but not surprising in any way. John Wesley Shipp is going to be back as Jay Garrick in full uniform. Oh, that is what I did. Oh, man, it made me smile big. This picture that popped up online was really just him and Grant Gustin standing next to each other in their costumes, kind of looking out into the distance there.
The promise of this picture is awesome.
He looks great. He looks great in this outfit, man. He looks like a Flash. I love it. I almost like it better than the Flash costume that Grant Gustin's wearing.
Yeah, I think they've tweaked the costume a little bit from when we saw it at the end of season 2.
I was going to say that too. I just watched that episode 2 days ago, and I think it's a little less beefy looking. He looked very beefy in that last episode when he donned the helmet.
That is true. It did add It was very much like the old Flash suit where it just right. added all those extra muscles, right?
Yeah. So now it's it really just kind of plays off of his broad shoulders. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they tweaked it a little bit too. But I liked seeing that out there because, like I said, it may not be surprising. We had speculated that he was going to be back, but this is definite proof, and it looks like it's going to be fun. So,
and it looks like it's going to be early in the season here because as they're releasing stuff, it's for, you know, within the first four episodes or something right now, I think is what they're talking about. So, but one thing they have teased, and it, man, this surprises me because in TV, you never really want to tease out too far. I mean, like, you don't go talking about your season finale, obviously. But, you know, they really are working, like, from the fall premiere up through your winter break. And then you kind of talk winter break into sweeps. And then you talk your finale episodes. But during the summer here, they've let us know that there is going to be another Flash and Supergirl crossover. Different from the four part crossover with Supergirl and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow as well. And it's going to happen later in the season. So my guess is it's probably going to be April sweeps because that is around the time, you know, that they would do that. It's not just going to be any crossover, Josh. It's going to be a musical crossover. Wait. They are going to write original songs because they've got Grant Gustin, and they've got Jesse L. Martin, and they've got Carlos Valdez, and they've got a number of people on the Supergirl cast are all singers. So now, you know, I don't think they're just going to do a musical episode, right? They're probably going to do something along the lines of, you know, normal episodes with they've got a villain of the week kind of thing set up, or, you know, with a crossover, you may have a villain visit both shows. And I can think of only one villain that would work for this. And that would be Neil Patrick Harris as the music Meister.
Yes.
If they do not get fantastic. Neil Patrick Harris, even if he doesn't play the music Meister, if he plays somebody else, I don't know what I'm going to do because, like, that is all I've been thinking about for the last, like, 2 months when I hear about this episode. It's like, right, it's a no-brainer.
This is – okay, so obviously this is a later show, you said. So we have time here. I don't think they've started filming. You know, they've started planning it. But
yeah.
So I think we have time to kind of bombard them with this idea. Just so we need everybody to let them know that Neil Patrick Harris needs to be in this episode.
Yeah, definitely. Tweet the Flash Writers Room. Tweet Andrew Kreisberg and Greg Berlanti, Grant Gustin. Let them know that Neil Patrick Harris is the only one that should be playing the villain.
Yeah, and you know he'd do it.
Let them know that Scarlet Velocity sent you. They're also adding there is a villain that we do know about that they're adding this season, finally, if we can just say. Mirror Master.
Oh, Mirror Master. Now, you and I have been talking about this since the early days of season one.
Since the season one, right. I mean, because we knew they were doing Rogues Gallery characters, right? I mean, and I think up to this point, I think we discussed this either earlier in the summer at the end of last season. We've seen all of the main Rogues Gallery characters, except for Mirror Master.
Yeah. And we have had several discussions about how they were going to make that work. Because Mirror Master is an interesting villain. You know, I mean, he uses, you know, the power of mirrors and reflections to rob things. And yeah. So
and wreak havoc and stuff. Yeah, he's very unique in the villain... in the villainy journals for Flash, whatever. I don't know what that is.
Wasn't he responsible for sending Flash to Earth 2 when he first met Jay Garrick? Or am I crossing stories a little bit?
Oh, boy. I don't think so.
I remember he did go to a alternate universe or another Earth or something where Flash was the bad guy. I remember that, but that was in the early days of Mirror Master 2. Anyway, I don't know, but how they're going to make that work, they'll fit it in, you know, something scientific, and Cisco will have to work on counteracting it or something.
Yeah, well, in the comics, he's got a mirror weapon, you know, a device that he uses to make everything happen. And it sounds like what they're doing for this is making him more of a metahuman, so that his power works, you know, metaphysically. You know, it's an innate kind of power that he's got. So I'm interested to see how they're going to change that, because, you know, Captain Cold, they gave him a cold gun. It's not that he has like freeze powers like Killer Frost.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see. But Gray Damon has been cast as Mirror Master, and people may know him from such shows as Friday Night Lights, American Horror Story, Twisted, Star-Crossed, or Aquarius. I'm really only familiar, I think, with two of those shows.
Oh, yeah. I'm not familiar with Gray Damon, but I have heard of all those shows.
Okay.
Well, we'll kind of see how that goes, but
and he'll be showing up here, I think, around episode 4. So
I have always liked how they keep including those Rogues Gallery, and I hope they continue, because there's a few others that maybe weren't quite as well known as those big ones like Captain Cold, but I'd love to see him. And another one that I cannot wait to see return, and even the well, there's been a little tease. I won't tell you where I saw that. You'll see it if you listen to the show and, you know, go check out some of the things we're telling you about. But Gorilla Grodd is going to be back. I'm very excited about this, because this is a character that they really did well on the first time they did it, and they continue to improve on him. So we know now that he's on Earth 2. They trapped him on Earth 2, and they showed little hints of Gorilla City. Well, turns out that there's going to be a two-part episode, a two-part story arc,
yeah,
with Grodd, where Flash goes to Gorilla City. Now, he's done this in the comics. Flash has gone to Gorilla City in the comics, and it's almost always a very scary, horrifying experience for the Flash.
It's like Planet of the Apes, but way, way more deadly.
Yes, yes. So, and we'll have to kind of see. My guess is that Grodd has taken over Gorilla City as their leader, which is usually how it is. You know, he's usually their kind of evil despot leader that not everybody necessarily agrees with, but he controls them in a way that they have to do what he says. So
we may actually get to see Solovar then.
Yeah.
As well.
Ooh, that would be very cool. And I wonder if they'll throw some headgear on him. You know what I mean? Oh. Sometimes he has those things on his head, like a crown. I don't know. I guess it's a crown, right?
It works with his telepathy and stuff like that.
Yeah, though, yeah. Right? So, they have the model of Grodd already. There's some pretty cool behind-the-scenes stuff on the Blu-ray about Grodd. So, anyway, so that's pretty cool. It's a two-part episode, which I was excited to see, because I don't like when they rush through story ideas that I think sound exciting. We give them the right amount of time.
That's cool. During the I think it was some of the press panels for Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con this year, Grant Gustin revealed that there was a Easter egg that's been kicking around the Flash since season 1, and something that no one's really noticed yet. And I have not gone back to look for this, but he says, no one seems to have noticed that we have a rubber duck that we fit into almost every single scene in the police station. We've been doing it since early in season 1, so maybe not every episode. There's probably not in the pilot, I would guess. Sometimes it's in an evidence bag that a cop is carrying, for example. So fans who want to go back and rewatch the episodes, there's something new for you to look for.
How did we miss this?
It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Psych on USA,
uh-huh,
but there's a pineapple in every episode somewhere. We've seen the
fern on Arrow, right? And it's not in every episode, but it played prominently into some episodes. But sure. How did we miss a rubber duck?
It's kind of, you know, it could be kind of small, I guess. But yeah, I honestly don't know. It's obviously, you know, like way in the background. It doesn't seem like it's something that they've really cheated for us to see.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, now I'm going to have to be looking for it. Anytime they're in the police station, I'm going to have to keep my eyes out for that.
We'll keep an eye out for it this this third season here.
I hope they still did it now that Grant Gustin's kind of ruined it for everybody.
Maybe Ernie can help us.
Oh, yeah.
Rubber Ducky, you're the one.
As long as he's got clothes on, because, he does that in the bath. So. All right, now, have you ever heard of the top?
Of what?
Old Smokey. No, the top is another villain, Rogues Gallery villain. I guess he's Rogues Gallery, isn't he? He'd be considered Rogues Gallery. And,
yeah. I mean, he's not as well known as, some of the other people, but.
No, but he's, now, I was reading my 75th anniversary Flash book, I guess.
With the hardcover?
With the compilation of some comics in it this summer.
Nice.
And he was in a few of those issues.
Oh, okay.
The top, he's kind of got a goofy little tight red and yellow striped, green and yellow striped costume. And he uses, tops, the toys, top.
Spinning.
This little spinning tops. And he uses them as weapons. And they have, because when, he was 1961 was when he first appeared. So okay, villains and heroes, they had a lot of, gimmick weapons. Yeah. Like Green Arrow had a lot of different kinds of arrows. He had these tops that did different things. Well, they're actually putting the top in Flash. However, changing it quite a bit. Going to be a female, and it'll be played by an actress named Ashley Ricards. No relation to Emily Bett Ricards from Arrow. But she has been on shows like One Tree Hill, American Horror Story. She was the voice of in Robot Chicken. She played a voice and Awkward, which I'm not familiar with. But so a little bit different than the comics, but they're going to connect it to the Mirror Master.
Oh, okay.
They're going to be kind of partnering up. And matter of fact, this article that I read, they said she'll be like the Bonnie to Mirror Master's Clyde. So I guess they're going to be working pretty closely together.
Cool. It seems like doubling up on villains is kind of cool because, of course, the Flash is really just one guy and he's got his speed. So it's like, how do you make it so he just doesn't take the villain out right away? And if you've got a couple characters that are, trying to take him down, that obviously splits his focus and can make it a little more difficult for the character to do his job.
And I don't know exactly what her powers are going to be or ability, whatever it is, power, metahuman or otherwise. But they said that she has the power to make people's heads spin. I don't know if that's literally or figuratively, but she sounds kind of dangerous. So
maybe she removes her top.
No, then she wouldn't be the top. She would be, no top.
Topless.
Topless. Yeah. How did I miss that? That's okay. that will be, I guess, the same time as the Mirror Master episode, if they're going to be kind of partners the way that Captain Cold was, Heatwave's partner, maybe.
Okay. Cool. And any other villains that we got coming?
There
here?
Is. I do. I have another one here, don't I? Look at that, man. We have a lot of speculation, not speculation, but new cast members, don't we?
Yeah, they've teased a lot of villains here.
Another one that you may not have heard of, Magenta.
Magneta.
Magneta.
Oh no, you're right. Magenta.
Magneta Genta. No, Magneta. That's a different franchise. Magneta.
I believe.
Magneto's girlfriend or something. No, this is Magenta. Magenta, not to be confused with the Blue's Clues dog. Okay.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's a combination. Maybe it's the dog in the Rocky
Horror
Picture
Show.
Yeah. Maybe they had a child and that was this. Played by Joey King, who's been on Bent, Fargo, Tween Fest. Those are all TV shows that I have never seen nor heard of, but young face, she's going to have the ability to control metal, which I don't think we've seen on the Flash. Let's count Girder, but he's not really controlling metal; he's just made of metal and very strong.
Girder was kind of the first thing that came to my mind as well.
Yeah, now and first thing I thought of was another character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the guy that kind of melts metal or something.
Absorbing Man.
Yeah. No. He was a He's a good guy. He's an inhuman, and he melts metal.
Oh, Joey.
Joey, that's it. Yeah, I don't know how I forgot that superhero name.
Who doesn't have a, he doesn't have a code name at this point.
So, Joey, that's, you don't know his last name, it's E. No, but, so she has the ability to control metal, but her powers come with dangerous side effects, so that causes her to start being really mean, I guess. I don't know if it's causes her to go crazy or if she just starts getting a little too excited about her powers, but she was also one of the members of the Rogues Gallery that I didn't actually remember, but...
Well, she's a relatively new character comparatively. With it, given Flash's 75-year history, she first showed up in, I think it was Teen Titans or New Teen Titans, whatever the Teen Titan title was called in 1982 with George Perez and Marv Wolfman. So,
okay.
And
all right.
Like we were joking about earlier, she's kind of gotten... paralleled to Magneto over in the Marvel Universe. So there may be some similarities there.
Well, it's, I don't know where the similarities would be. They switched a whole bunch of letters around in her name.
And then there was a bunch of really confusing stories that came out earlier here in the summer since our last special. So do you savvy Savitar? Well, he's another speed villain, and people were pretty sure that Todd LaSance was cast as the speedster Savitar. So, okay, great. So that's good to know. But the next day, Greg Berlanti begs to differ. He comes out and says, no, we haven't cast the actor playing Savitar. Savitar will be on the show, but Tobin Bell is going to be doing the voice. So it's going to be kind of like Tony Todd doing the voice of Zoom. And we just had a stuntman in the costume, until they made the reveal. It was all confusion the next day because there was a misquote. He's actually playing a character called The Rival, which is a Zoom / Reverse Flash counterpart to the Earth 2 Jay Garrick.
Yes.
So I'm not really sure about the validity of any of these stories at this point, just because, this is news from like a month or so ago.
Well, we are pretty certain that those characters will be on the show, though. Savitar and The Rival, they have said that specifically.
They did say The Rival. Okay. Because I know Savitar is for certain on the show, but.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I think we're going to see The Rival relatively quickly or early in the season.
Quickly.
If I remember. Quickly, yes. I think I saw that somewhere that would be pretty early. That might actually be who they're going to be using with Wally being Kid Flash, but don't call him.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't like that.
All right. Well, anyway, Todd LaSance, he's been on Spartacus, War of the Damned, and also on Vampire Diaries. And then genre fans probably recognize Tobin Bell. I find this interesting that they are taking stars of horror films and using them as the voice of the speedsters. Because so we had Tony Todd, who's the star of Jeepers Creepers and any number of other horror films and stuff. And then Tobin Bell is probably best known as Jigsaw from the Saw films.
Oh, so that's scary.
That's going to be really creepy. Yeah.
Now, so, if you, gosh, I don't remember if it was one of our summer specials early on this year or one of our late season episodes, but when we were speculating about who the new speedster villains were going to be, Savitar was on my list of ones that I thought they might use.
Yeah.
I was actually a little surprised that they used him. In the comics, he wasn't used too much. He was a Wally West villain speedster. But he did die when Barry came back.
Rebirth here.
Yeah, in Rebirth. And Barry kind of touched him. And no, wasn't it? Was it the Rebirth?
Yeah, it was either the Rebirth issue or it was number one.
Oh, okay.
But was from the Flash Rebirth or from their Rebirth, the reboot.
Barry touched him and he just kind of disintegrated.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see. I wonder if they'll change that costume at all, because he didn't really wear much. It was just pretty much pants and a mask.
And some paint.
And some paint. Savitar is Latin for male stripper speedster. Well, I had some good news. Now, I mentioned early on in the summer here that I was very excited that the Dish Network finally made a deal with the company that owns CW and some places to get them back on the air. I was a little worried about how I was going to be seeing our episodes in a timely manner this season, and they did get that worked out. Turns out that even if they hadn't, I'd have been okay.
Yeah, you didn't need to worry at all.
I didn't need to worry at all. They've made an announcement now that you can actually watch new episodes from this season of The Flash, plus Arrow, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and I'm assuming some other CW shows, on the CW app. Straight from the CW app. You don't have to wait for
Netflix. How much is that going to cost me?
How much is it going to cost you? You can send me as much as you want, but if you really don't want to do that, you can watch them for free. Absolutely
free. For free?
Yes.
That's awesome.
This kind of reminds me of the early days of networks streaming shows. I used to have to watch Lost this way when I missed it or forgot to tape it on my VCR. you could go online and watch it. But now I can watch it straight from my phone on the CW app. Now, they won't be there forever. You know, it'll probably just be, about four episodes or something like that.
Probably.
That stick on there. But that's still a few weeks, you know, if you don't have it recorded or you have a power outage or something, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's great news. And man, I tell you what, I am really just impressed with the way that CW has been handling their business.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of really impressive things that I think are working well for a smaller network.
Well, and the deal they made with Netflix also says that all of these shows, all the superhero shows at least, will be on Netflix 8 days after the season finale. So you'll be able to, like, if you decide you're not watching Flash right now and you just want to binge watch it, as soon as the season finale ends, the following week you can start watching season 3.
That is great news for me as a person that likes to promote Flash, because I talk to a lot of people that don't watch it, and part of the reason they don't watch shows like this is because once the season has started, you know, you have to go all the way back and catch up to kind of figure out what's going on.
I hate people. I mean, I know it's like people who want to read comics. They're like, oh, I can't start. You know, this is number 7. What happened before? It's like, just like in the old days, I never worried about what was happening. You know, I just picked up a comic, and of course, then I'd read it and I go, oh wow, something happened. Like, how does this end? And you know, then your family moves and you don't go back and get the comic and you have to wait like 20 years and you go, oh, I'm going to finally go buy the conclusion to this, this arc.
But I think we live in a society now where we want it all. And so people feel like if they don't have the story before, you know, or they don't have some conclusion, answers aren't answered, you know, then they don't want it at all, which I think is silly, man. You know, watch it, even if it's in the middle. If it's interesting to you, keep watching it. And if you want to know what happened before, go back and watch the ones before. Find those somewhere because they are available. But but at least, you know, I can tell people, hey, you know what? You can go back on Netflix right there. You can see it. So that's great. That's fantastic. But if you're a little more old-fashioned, like I tend to be sometimes, you can just wait a little while and then buy the discs. I have the second season of The Flash right here. As I said earlier, I've watched most of it. I kind of picked and choose the episodes I was watching because, you know, I didn't think I'd have time to watch the entire thing. But I did get through all of the extras, and I kind of want to talk about those. We'll spend a few minutes to talk about those. Have you had a chance to see anything?
No, I didn't watch any of it, so I'm going to just let you talk about it. No, well, I did. I skipped through a number of the episodes as well, and I probably watched about half of the extras. I was kind of picking and choosing on that. But what I have to say is, even watching The Flash on my high def channels that I watch it on, which you know looks really good on my TV, when I put the Blu-ray in, I'm like, wow. I mean, it's like watching a new version of the episode because it's so crisp and clean. It looks great.
It really does.
They really did a good job with their transfers and 11 of the episodes or so. 11 of the episodes have deleted scenes that are in them. You can actually look at the deleted scenes separately, but I believe they're actually inserted into the episode where they would belong, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure if they're inserted into the episode, but when you click on each episode in the menu, there's a little symbol there. I think it's like scissors is what it is, like for, you know, deleted scenes. If you click on that, it'll take you to the deleted scenes for that specific episode. But
yeah, that's how I was looking at them. But I
don't recall if they're actually, like, if you're just watching the episode and they're in there or not. I don't recall if they are or not. But
okay.
But yeah, so you can kind of watch them in several different ways on there. The packaging, I think, looks great. The cardboard sleeve that it goes into has that kind of metallic sheen to it, and it matches really well with the Arrow. And I think if I've seen in the store, the Legends of Tomorrow looks very similar as well. So they'll look good together on your shelf. I am a little, just a teeny, I'm just nitpicking here, but a little disappointed that this fantastic picture of Grant Gustin on the cover, he's not running. And to me, almost every comic book cover of The Flash has a picture of Flash running, because that's what Flash does, right?
Yeah.
So I almost think they should have done something with him running, but
Josh, he's been running so much on all those covers, he's just taken a rest here.
Tired. That's okay.
But he's kneeling down, right? It's not like he's just standing there with his arms crossed or something.
No, so. No. And I'm not complaining about it. It's just that's sure one of those little things. I'm like, yeah, you know, come on. I love those action shots where he's running. So, you also have. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want the picture of him running, I think it's on the Best Buy Steelbook.
Oh.
I think, because it's got a different cover. Yeah, if you want him running, you have to go buy the Best Buy Steelbook Blu-ray. It's not, so the cover of the regular Blu-ray and digital HD is a photo of Grant Gustin in the Flash costume. Whereas the Steelbook version is an artist's rendering of Grant Gustin in the Flash outfit, and he's running at the camera with all the lightning striking around him and stuff like that.
Ah, see, that seems a little more action-y to me.
Yeah. It may have actually it may be a picture that was taken from that online comic that they did for the Flash.
Oh, okay.
That DC did. But
it does
for,
the, look
for
like
those
that
like
it?
Steel books, I mean, this, you know, it looks really cool.
Well, definitely more action oriented. So the Blu-ray does include a digital copy that you can get with Ultraviolet. If you are into that, I still don't do that very often.
Have you ever done any of that? I've never downloaded those because, I mean, once I've got it here, I don't need it clogging up my computer and stuff.
Right,
so.
Yeah, that's usually why I don't do it too. I have done that with a couple movies, I think. And
okay.
It's become a little bit easier than it used to be. So, but I tend not to have to do that too often. So I usually have plenty of things to do when I travel. I don't need to watch my phone, but
right.
Sometimes so. So anyway, it looks great. The discs themselves, the Blu-ray has four discs. They all have the same image kind of, I don't know, silk screened onto them. And it's just a side view of Flash running and just mostly his head. It actually kind of looks like a blue version of the Scarlet Velocity logo, actually. So looks great. It has tons and tons of extras, almost 4 hours of special features on this
thing. I
know.
Wow.
Some of them are short. Some of them are quite long, actually. I'll go through some of these to kind of tell you what they are, and we'll see how many we can get through. But before we do the
extras, let me just mention this one other thing. I think I've got the note somewhere else here in our show notes. But there's also a coupon in here for three episodes with no commercials from season three. You can actually go to a website and put in a code, and through Amazon and Vudu, you can get three of these season three episodes. You can get the episodes the day after they air, no commercial, stream with Wi-Fi or download, and enjoy extras with many shows. So that's pretty cool.
That's a great way for people that just go digital, you know, that just do that. That's a good way to kind of get them hooked onto it, you know, and give them a few free ones. That's a good idea. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, well, some of the background or the behind the scenes stuff that they do are pretty cool. The things that you would probably expect. There's a lot of technical things. They show how
like
they do some of the visual
really
effects,
stuff, right?
Right? And the guy, oh my gosh, I should have written this down. His name is escaping me, but one of the guy that is the head of doing some of those visual effects, he talks quite a bit around these. There's a thing with Grodd where they kind of show how they did him and how they made a few little tweaks from the first season when he was there. So they show some of those behind the scenes things. I was a little curious about this, but some of the first special features, I guess, on the first disc seemed older. They seemed like they were from season one.
They were stuff I think that was done between season one, either at the end of season one or between season one and two to promote season two. Barry and Iris New Beginnings definitely has some stuff where they're like, and we've got some great villains, but we can't tell you more about them. You'll just have to watch. And it's like, we're already watching the DVD.
It seems odd to put that in there. But I mean, I guess if it wasn't done in time for the season one DVD because it was to promote it, I can see why, but it seemed like it didn't fit.
I totally agree with you. I thought the same thing.
So they did have a couple things on the Hawks, on, you know, Hawk Girl and Hawk Man, two different features, relatively short, about 11 minutes apiece. And I believe they were the same ones that were on the Arrow Blu-rays, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, exactly the same.
Okay, and then they did have an interesting one. This was – I didn't expect this one, but it was a little – 4-minute blurb about Lewis Snart. It was just a, you know, little story about Captain Cold's father.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that in there. Another one I didn't expect was the Christmas in a Flash.
That was good. I like that one. Yeah. With kind of behind the scenes on the Trickster and Captain Cold and how they figured out that episode.
Yeah, some great stuff with Mark Hamill in that. I hope we see him again, boy. I would be excited to see that.
I'm sure he'll be there.
Let's see. Anything else jump out at you?
Yeah, the one that really surprised me that they actually promote on the cover as one of the special features is Chasing Flash, The Journey of Kevin Smith. And to this point, everything's about 2 to 4 minutes. There's, you know, some that are a little bit longer. Those Hawk Man, Hawk Girl ones are like 11 minutes, like you said. This one, it's 51 and a half minutes long. I mean, it's actually longer than most of the episodes on here. And it's just like hanging out with Kevin Smith as he shoots the episode and he talks about stuff on set, and then they've got interview footage of him, just kind of talking to a guy right off camera, talking about his philosophy and how he's changed as a director and as a writer. And, you know, what really struck me about this is the fact that he is so beloved because he brought so much energy and positivity to the set. Everybody loved having him there. And, you know, they said, well, we've got to get you back, which at this point we know he's coming back, I think, for an early episode, like the 7th or 8th episode
and it's going to be about Killer Frost.
That's what it sounds like based on the stuff that's been leaked. And the one thing that I was kind of thinking about as I'm watching this, so they spend an hour. They've got 23 episodes, which are directed by maybe a dozen different directors. Usually there's people that come back, but I didn't actually do a count of how many directors they had over the season. But let's just, for argument's sake, say they have a dozen directors. So on their DVD, they have a 51-minute documentary about one director, all about how he works and how great he was and how everybody loved him. And really what I started thinking about 30 minutes into this was, wow, I wonder how these other directors who, like, you know, they're like the ones that come back and do Flash and Arrow, and they're just like, you know, day directors that they show up and they do episodes of a bunch of different shows and stuff like this. How does that make them feel?
Yeah, I don't know. They might resent it a little bit. But Kevin Smith is so well known for a variety of things that it does seem.
I mean, I don't think you can hate him, but
no.
Still, it's kind of awkward, it seemed like. So.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. One thing that you and I talked about when we did his episode last season was how we were kind of surprised that this was more of a character-based episode and not so much about a action-y villain scenes, you know, a bunch of that. We've seen a lot of that when the stunt director, you know, directs an episode of Arrow or something, right?
Right, right. And you would have thought this one would have taken place at like a Big Belly Burger or something like that, where the, well, the characters just sitting around talking.
Well, I mean, that's we were a little surprised when we talked about that. And in that, in this documentary, he discusses that. He's like, I was a little worried about doing one like that, and it turns out this was perfect for me because there was a lot of dialogue and there was a lot of character interaction. And so he was actually very pleased that it was an episode that wasn't as action packed. So
yeah,
I would get, and the actors, I think, appreciated his way of looking at it and setting them up. So that was pretty interesting to see. And then of course you got your obligatory gag reel.
And this is it may be obligatory, but I think this is by far one of the best gag reels I've seen on almost any box set. It's probably twice as long as most of them, and
12 minutes.
Oh my god, it's so funny!
I was shocked at how long it was. It was much longer than the one on Arrow. You and I will be talking about soon, but
literally twice as long as the one on Arrow. And Tom Cavanaugh, I got to tell you, he's a potty mouth.
Yes,
he just says bad words all the time.
It was pretty much just 12 minutes of mess ups and cussing. That's what it was. I had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, so, I'm going to have to put that on again and watch it.
Yeah, it's fun. So I my kids usually like watching those, but I'm not sure about this one. This was I have to cut out the parts with Wells in it. So overall,
they do bleep stuff. They do bleep it.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, they do bleep it. Yeah, we should.
Yeah, it is family friendly. Oh, I mean, the Kevin Smith thing had more cussing in it than anything else. They had to bleep him a lot. Pretty much everything he says has a cuss word in it.
Shocking.
But yeah, just the way he is.
Well, anyway, I recommend this Blu-ray set. I am very satisfied with what they included with it. For the price, I think it's completely worth it. I like having the physical copies, so I was not disappointed.
And I agree. I think it was a definite value. I mean, again, you know, when you're buying a season, you should just kind of be content that you're getting the season. But I do, you know, I've already seen the season, and I'm buying the discs, you know, so I can have it in my collection, so I can watch stuff again. But when I buy physical media right now, and kind of always, I've always looked to have extras on it, stuff that I didn't get when I went and saw your movie in the theater or when I watched your TV show on television. I want to get those behind the scenes pieces. I want stuff that tells me a little bit more about your process, because as a fan of film and television and things like that, that's what really interests me.
Yes, me as well. I agree. So if you're going to pick that up, let us know what you thought about it. I'd love to hear your guys' opinions and what you liked, especially on the special features. And, you know, speaking of listeners here, we had some interaction here in the last few weeks, and I just wanted to share some of that. We got a really great email from Monica that I wanted to read to you real quick.
She always sends good emails.
She does really send good, very thoughtful. She says, I just listened to your podcast and I had a few quick ideas. You asked about the new speedster and gave some background about who each was. And since we're doing Flashpoint and things have changed, basing it on the fact that there was notable absence of Harrison Wells, do we think he could be back in an iteration of Johnny Quick? And that's how they'll tie him and Jesse back in somehow. Also, I've been wondering if they would stay in the Flashpoint universe for the whole season. That would shake everything up, and I'm sure they'd have enough material to have fun with it. Just my two thoughts after listening. So I think we've heard already that the Flashpoint won't be lasting all season.
Yeah, and I think we touched on that a little bit in our last episode. We didn't think it would, and I'm pretty sure, based on what I've heard, that it's going to resolve here at some point. But based on early reviews of the first episode, people are saying, I actually have more questions now, which seems difficult. But I like the Johnny Quick idea. I hadn't really given a thought to that previously. So that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see him as Johnny Quick. I mean, it makes sense since obviously Jesse would be Jesse Quick. But
right.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I want him to be a speedster. I like Wells enough that I kind of want him to stay a separate character. But, I mean, it's a great idea, and I'm sure they do it well. But
Well, Legends of Tomorrow is taking to task the using the Justice Society of America. So there, and Johnny Quick is, I think, more an All-Star Squadron character, but I guess there's a chance for that, you know, type of character. It would be kind of interesting to have a speedster character show up in the time traveling on Legends of Tomorrow that's not necessarily related to the Flash. Mm-hmm. That could be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Yeah. So interesting thoughts. Thank you very much for putting that in here, Monica. We also got some feedback from Benjamin on Twitter. He was rewatching the season and just. It seemed like there were a couple days where he was just kind of tweeting interesting things to us, like things that he noticed when he was now that he knows that Jay at the beginning of the season is actually Zoom. It seems a little more confusing because, of course, they don't they're not trying to reveal their hand or anything like that, which is why I think you and I were like, there is absolutely no way this guy could be. The bad guy.
Yeah, and Benjamin reminds us like they tested him to be powerless with speed, right? And yet he was Zoom. So interesting. Yeah, I find when you go back and watch him, when you know stuff, you can think about it a little bit deeper.
Yeah, but he says it's unlike the Sixth Sense where you can rewatch and see the clues that you've never seen before. The Jay Zoom twist is not like that.
No.
And I kind of realized that at the time because there didn't appear to – I mean things appeared weird, but there wasn't really a good explanation at the time. And that's why things just didn't connect. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think that that's they just wrote it that way because they didn't want to reveal anything. And then they kind of – let's say it's like a retcon, I guess.
Maybe. Huh. Yeah, so he had some good thoughts. We were kind of talking on Twitter the other day. You know what, guys? If you are on Twitter, I want to thank you so much for throwing out your ideas and your comments and stuff out there. And please keep it up. Keep it up. Just keep throwing any ideas you have as you're thinking about them. And because it makes us think too. And I like hearing other people's points of view. So those of you that are out there, Benjamin, we said, and Tyler, Armando, and Tim. I mean, just if I missed you, just keep tweeting and I'll get to you. I'll see you again. So thank you so much to everybody that's kind of participating on Facebook and Twitter out there. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, look, hey man, summer is over. I mean, it's time. I'm
officially
ready.
Over. Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just hours really away from seeing episode one of season three of The Flash.
Like 96 hours, maybe something like that, depending on when you actually downloaded this episode.
So it's coming. So get ready, plan your dinner for the night, plan on sitting down and watching real intently and then coming back and listening to us talk about it and giving your input. So, but since summer's over for now, that's it for our summer specials this year. You and I have to run.
Well, I appreciate talking to you about all this stuff and hopefully during the season premiere, they're not going to have like a ticker on the CW that keeps updating people on the vice presidential debate that's going on because I believe it's going on at the same time the Flash is. So
I'm going to get a piece of duct tape and just put it across the bottom
of your. I just hold my hand up and just block it. But
there you go.
Hey, if you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please be sure to leave your feedback for us on iTunes or, as Josh said, tweet at Scarlet Velocity. You can email us, scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com, like Monica did. Visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast. Heck, I think you can even give feedback on our stories over at randomchatter.com as well. So go ahead and do any and all of those things. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Lots of ways to interact. I love doing that. You can also check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. We're already into that season. I've already been two episodes of that, so you can check that out. Those are all at randomchatter.com, of course, and you can get those through iTunes or through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you guys are enjoying this, if you enjoy talking about The Flash, listening about The Flash, let your friends know. Talk about it when you're at the comic book store, you know, tell people, or when you go to work and you're talking about what happened on The Flash, let everybody know. We want to get more people involved and talking to us and listening to what we have to say and correcting me, of course. That's always important. So
that is probably the primary reason why we actually release these episodes.
It is, right. You just like hearing people correct me, don't you? So
Yep.
All right. Remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.